Support for the Legislative Gazette comes from New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals standing with more than 600,000 workers in education, human services, and healthcare with the Our Voice, Our Values, Our Union campaign. And United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President. UUPinfo.org.
Amid the coronavirus pandemic, the New York State Comptroller says the state's revenues are plunging, along with the stock market, and that spells a difficult time ahead for the state budget. More now from the Legislative Gazette's Karen DeWitt.
State Comptroller Tom DiNapoli was asked by Governor Andrew Cuomo to recalculate the state's finances, and he says the picture does not look good. He says the current $6 billion deficit might grow to $10 to $13 billion.
This is an extraordinary time that we're going through, and it makes estimating the revenue impact of the pandemic very, very difficult.
DiNapoli says the impacts of the virus on the economy and state revenue is currently unknowable, and he says most available economic forecasts have not even caught up with recent events. Among the many uncertainties, will the April 15th tax collections be down as people and businesses find they are unable to file their taxes on time? DiNapoli says if that occurs, the state could experience a cash flow problem in the billions of dollars. The mandatory casino closures enacted March 16th will also reduce revenues. Sales tax collections are also likely to be reduced, with bars and restaurants shut down and few customers at most retail centers. The comptroller says New York's financial picture could improve, though, if the federal government comes up with a substantial bailout package for the states and to boost the economy.
Perhaps beyond the relief that's currently being debated, there will be stimulus money that will be additional money that is not quantified at this point. So I just think they need to do the best they can, understanding that the budget they put together may be more of a baseline budget, you know, with additional monies to be considered, further down the line, some months from now.
For that reason, Governor Cuomo's budget director, Robert Mojica, says the administration might ask the legislature for greater flexibility so that the governor could unilaterally make more fiscal decisions later in the year.
We need a budget that's in place that gives us the flexibility to hold payments back, modulate things, move payments ahead of time for healthcare. So that's really the budget that you're going to need, one that has flexibility for us to be able to make changes and calibrate as we go throughout the year.
Cuomo says he and lawmakers will have to make the tough decision to just pick a point in time and decide on a spending plan.
If the revenues continue to slow, which I believe they will, that you have a self-adjustment mechanism in the budget. So you don't have to come back every 24 hours to readjust the budget when the revenues shift.
The Republican minority leader in the Senate, John Flanagan, in a statement, is calling on the legislature to enact a bare-bones state budget. He says lawmakers should leave out, for now, many proposed additional items, like legalizing adult use of recreational marijuana. Flanagan says he's against the idea, though, of granting Cuomo new budget-making powers. He says the legislature should instead periodically revisit the budget to potentially make the changes along with the governor. A spokesman for Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie says the Assembly wants to see the specific bill language that the governor is talking about before they make any comment. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Giustina.
Joining us now, Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Shartok. Alan, the
big example, I guess, for the country has been seen in New York. We've been talking about it the last couple of weeks since the coronavirus pandemic began to grow in New York, and the president contrasted with the governor's leadership. Now we see the governor of New York able to negotiate with the president to agree to deploy a 1,000-bed Navy hospital ship to New York City to relieve pressure on hospitals treating COVID-19. One more example of why the governor seems to be getting so much praise from you and others.
He is, and he deserves it. You know, the first thing he does is give everybody the facts. He doesn't fool around. He just lays out the facts as to what's happening. And he doesn't spare anybody. He doesn't try to hide behind anything. He says what is happening, and that is a very good test of leadership, and he's been doing that, that's for sure. Now, one of the things that's interesting is that this governor has clearly decided to lay traditional politics aside. He's made an approach to the president. They've been talking to each other. They've been protecting each other to some degree. There is a lack of the usual rhetoric. And as a result, you get hospital ships and you get all kinds of things coming into New York that there were no signs of up to now. Now, this is a change in the Trumpian philosophy. Because clearly Trump thought that the way that you deal with your base and get them to support what you're doing, David, is to put it on the line and say New York is bad, Massachusetts is bad, California is bad, and get them to go along. It's a traditional way that despots do business. And this president now sees that that isn't going to work right now. So we see a different guy. We see maybe a deer caught in the headlights, staring straight ahead. When you see his appearances, it's not the same Phineas T. bluster we used to see in the past. Now we're seeing a guy who is listening to the advisors, and that is a refreshing change, although this country is in real bad shape right now. And the state of New York, you got to hand it to Governor Cuomo, who is doing a terrific job.
Well, the state has now, as we are speaking, more than 2,300 confirmed cases. That's certain to grow, at least 20 deaths. The governor has reduced the workforce by 50%. The issue of whether to shelter in place or quarantine, mandatory quarantine in New York City, came up in quite a dust up between New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio and the governor this week.
Yeah, de Blasio, as usual, put his foot where it didn't belong and said that he might order basically a quarantine. The governor came back very quickly and said, no, there's only one person who can do that, and that's me, and I'm not doing it. The 50% rule is good. I mean, 50% of our people are working from home now. Media has been excused, I believe, but nevertheless, everybody appreciates the fact that if you stay home, you're in a lot better shape than if you go out. Because if you go out, your chances of running into somebody who has the virus are just so much greater. Stay home. And if you're older, it's better, especially in a place like New York, which has so many older people, to get somebody else to do that work for you and leave it at your doorstep. So I think the governor knows it, and he's getting great credit for it.
Meantime, you have Wall Street. The impact of that on New York, we've just had a conversation last week with the state comptroller, Tom DiNapoli, who's been adjusting the numbers in light of the coronavirus. But this is going to hit New York especially hard with Wall Street at its front door.
Well, look, we had a $6 billion deficit approaching already. The governor had to deal with that. That's going to look minor compared to what ends up happening here. This country is now going to be on a borrowing spree. And that includes New York as well as everybody else. Look, where's that money going to come from? The big theory in the beginning was that the counties would have to kick in more for their Medicaid accounts. They can't. There's no money. And people are getting sicker and sicker, poor people. And that's what Medicaid is. So there's going to have to be a lot of deficit spending in New York. I'm sure this governor and everybody else knows it. You know, David, the United States government can borrow all it wants, but the state of New York and all states, I believe most states, have to have balanced budgets. And that's going to be very hard to achieve with what's happening now.
We're seeing in the beginning the talk that, no, we'll still be able to get the budget done and nothing will suffer as a result. Some of our major proposals will end up in there. Well, just out this week, the chief sponsor of the bill to legalize adult use of recreational marijuana, someone you speak to, Senator Krueger, says it will likely not be in the budget plan for now.
Well, this governor knows full well, and this was basically started by Governor Pataki, and it went to a lawsuit before the state's highest court, that the budget is a place that the governor can get all kinds of business done, much easier than if he has to negotiate with the legislature over separate bills. So he wants to put things like marijuana reform in the budget because he believes that that's the way to get it done. Where all this resistance to marijuana is coming from, I don't know. In my state of Massachusetts, I can tell you that it's been adopted. There hasn't been any chaos as a result of it. So it's really wild that you get this kind of objection to it. Nevertheless, there are apparently major forces out there that just don't want it.
I guess one of the other parts of all of this is when the news headlines are filled with coronavirus, what other news don't we know and what's going on that we're going to miss that could get through?
Well, that's right. You know, we are going to miss an awful lot of news. Yesterday, in the Times, the first several articles had to do with the virus, of course. Down at the bottom was this other obscure story, once you got through all of the virus stuff, which was huge, that there had been some primaries and that Joe Biden was in the lead. So that, yeah, things get changed when you have something as awful as this virus.
Well, let's follow that for a minute. And assuming that we get to the election and the Democrat prevails, and assuming it is Biden, does he tap Governor Cuomo for a cabinet position?
Very hard to say. You know, we know these guys are very good friends. And I have no question that based on what has been happening now, there will be a decision made by the governor. Is he better off winning a fourth term, something that was denied to his father, and which we'll see whether he decides he wants to stick with, or whether he goes to a job like Attorney General of the United States, because every one of those jobs will be open. Me, I'd rather work for myself. I mean, if I'm him, projecting myself into his spot, I don't know that I would want a boss, because in the end, as we have seen so many times, bosses can prevail and limit your freedom of action. And that's one thing that hasn't happened to this governor in all of this. He's standing out. He has become the voice of reason. They have him on CNN and every other place as if he were the president. I think to give up that kind of stature is probably something he'll have to think about long and hard.
Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok. You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. President Trump announced this week that the U.S.-Canada border will be closed to all except essential travel. While the move was not expected by border interest in
President Trump tweeted Wednesday that the U.S. and Canada, quote, will be by mutual consent temporarily closing our northern border with Canada to non-essential traffic. Trade will not be affected, unquote. During a noontime press conference, the president said he spoke with Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and says both felt it is critical to restrict non-essential travel in order to prevent coronavirus spread.
We don't want people coming into contact because that's the way we're going to win this war. That is so important. And we both thought it was time. Now, it's not affecting trade. It's non-essential. It's non-essential crossings. It won't affect trade at all. And it was just something we thought would be good for both countries. Yes, please.
How can you be sure that trade and everything that's being shipped from one side?
Well, they're doing it in a very careful manner. You can only be vigilant and very professional, but we're not. It's not pertaining at this moment to trade between the two countries.
North Country Chamber President Gary Douglas says the Prime Minister suggested that this would happen several days ago. The Chamber is actively reaching out for clarification on essential travel definitions.
Last week, when the Quebec government issued an advisory, which is all they can do, they don't actually operate the border, but they issued an advisory to Quebecers that they should not be crossing the border and should self-isolate if they do so and return to Quebec. There was a lot of angst after the Quebec announcement, and we want those same clarifications in this case by the two governments to keep nerves calmed.
Congresswoman Elise Stefanik initially released a statement questioning whether healthcare workers who daily cross the border to work at local hospitals would be exempted. She told WAMC that she immediately spoke with Department of Homeland Security Acting Secretary Chad Wolf and received assurance that workers on NAFTA visas would be able to continue to cross the border.
I have hospitals across my district that have Canadian physicians, Canadian nurses, and other healthcare providers who rely on those daily NAFTA visas as they cross the border. We also are working with the North Country Chamber of Commerce to ensure that the important truck drivers, for example, in our very unified supply chain with our manufacturing base, that we're able to come up with exemptions for them. But my initial conversation with Secretary Wolf was focused specifically on the health care needs and answering that question immediately for North Country hospitals.
Town of Plattsburgh Supervisor Michael Cashman says the town relies on sales tax revenues, most of which comes from Canadian shoppers. The municipality has frozen all non-essential spending in anticipation of border restrictions. Douglas says cross-border traffic has been diminishing for some time.
This began a couple of weeks ago. It accelerated last week on a voluntary basis. This has already occurred. People are not traveling. They're not staying in hotels. They're not crossing the border for shopping. They aren't shopping at home much. So this is a pretty universal impact.
The duration of the border closure has not been determined.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Pat Bradley.
Under the direction of Governor Andrew Cuomo, bars and restaurants in New York State were restricted this week to takeout and delivery service only as a strategy to prevent the spread of COVID-19. That left businesses around the state trying to figure out what to do next. The Legislative Gazette's Lucas Willard spoke to businesses in Albany.
Jason Pierce is president at Savoy Tap Room, where a staff meeting was being held Monday. The bar and restaurant voluntarily closed Sunday night.
We felt that was in the best interest for the health and safety of not only our staff, but the community at large. Obviously, there's a pretty substantial impact on our staff. We're working with them to ensure that they have what they need moving forward. And then we're trying to look at delivery and takeout options to, continue revenue here at the restaurant so that we can continue to support our staff.
Restaurants and bars in New York have been given the green light to provide takeout and delivery services for both food and beverages. Over the weekend, as social distancing policies were enacted, some bars realized keeping people apart wouldn't be sustainable. August Rosa, who owns Pint Sized on Lark Street and another location in Saratoga Springs, says the bar served beers in plastic cups with bartenders wearing disposable gloves.
Pretty stressful, but as this kind of developed, it became apparent yesterday that just this wasn't a sustainable thing, and it just didn't make sense to put anyone at risk, even with the social distancing, eliminating chairs, spacing people out. It's just too much of a challenge right now, so we're going to shift to just doing to-go business going forward.
Pint-Sized will symbolically revert to its previous iteration called Brew, and customers can pick up their beverages just as before. Servers who make a tipped wage will earn a higher wage in the interim. But up the street, Post, which is co-owned by Rosa, is facing a bigger challenge. Co-owners Craig Dutra and Nick Warkel were readying for a staff meeting Monday. Warkel said the small plates restaurant and wine bar will have to shut down.
They mandated that all bars and, all bars and restaurants can't be open for anything except for takeout and delivery. And we're just not that. It's just not our model.
The co-owners had just met with their landlord, who told me he wouldn't ask for a penny in rent during the public health emergency. Warkel knows his situation is not necessarily typical.
There's going to be some people that are on the hook for a lot of bills during this time, and it's going to be really hard.
Pierce at Savoy has some suggestions on how customers can support their favorite watering holes as the future remains uncertain and operating hours are limited.
The two things that you can do that are most direct and easy are, number one, go online and buy gift cards. That money will directly help that company to support their employees, order takeout food, or delivery. That money will also help them to support their employees.
On Tuesday morning, during what has become daily press briefings on the coronavirus outbreak, Governor Andrew Cuomo addressed the pushback he has received on restricting operating hours for the hospitality industry.
I know people are upset. I know businesses will be hurt by this. I don't feel good about that. I feel very bad about that because I know we're going to have to then deal with that issue as soon as this immediate public health issue is over. But my judgment is do whatever is necessary to contain this virus. And then we will manage the consequences afterwards. The old expression, the buck stops on my desk, the buck stops on my desk.
New York has been coordinating with neighboring states and instituting its restrictions in order to contain the spread of the virus.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Lucas Willard.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. As the coronavirus has many under quarantine and still more confined to their homes to stop the spread, there's a question about how food will be distributed to those in need. To that end, the Ulster County Executive this week launched a community fund and local food distribution effort to support residents impacted. The Legislative Gazette's Allison Dunn picks up the story.
Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan says Tuesday's launch of Project Resilience is in response to a surge of support and goodwill.
And I think we're showing really our state and our whole country what it looks like when a community comes together and works to help those among the community in need. So this is a model that I hope others can learn from as well.
The effort includes a community fund in partnership with the United Way.
I'm very excited to announce that in just 24 hours, really less than 24 hours, we've already raised and had pledges of over $2 million, $2 million from generous supporters to help fund those in most need in our county. We want to raise $5 million, and the reason that we get to that number, which I know is a high number, rough back of the envelope math, basically that's enough money to just help every family in Ulster County that's below the affordability threshold get 1 week of groceries.
There's also an online portal for anyone in need to ask for help.
The third piece is a robust food distribution network across the county. We're going to repurpose our UCAP buses. We're going to work with municipalities and other not-for-profit partners and make sure, in addition to the work the school districts are doing, that we'll supplement and support to get anyone in need food and other critical services.
He says Ulster County Area Transit, or UCAP, buses are still running, though in a reduced capacity. The fourth component is a partnership program for businesses and community groups to provide the food and services.
For our businesses in the community, many of them, particularly restaurants and food producers, are struggling. If you opt into this program, we'll use the funds raised to pay you at cost so that you can continue to employ your food service workers to make food and use the inventory you have to feed those in need.
By Tuesday, Ulster County had 8 confirmed positive COVID-19 cases out of more than 80 tests conducted in the county. Ryan says this includes 1 positive case in the town of Lloyd Monday and 2 Tuesday in the towns of Saugerties and Marbletown. Ulster County Health Commissioner Dr. Carol Smith says the county received 250 testing kits from the state.
What we are doing is trying to prioritize. So if we have someone who had been tested either through a hospital base or their doctor, that we, if they're positive, they have direct family members, who may be becoming symptomatic. These are people that really do need to be tested.
Ryan says he and county legislature leaders spoke Tuesday morning.
It makes sense to have essentially a spending freeze in county spending for hiring as well as other programs, except for, of course, essential coronavirus response. So we are in agreement on that, and that will, you know, prepare us as best we can for any longer-term economic impacts and budgetary impacts.
Ryan says more than 90% of businesses in Ulster County are small businesses.
We'll be rolling out in the next day or so an initiative for this Saturday, a small business Saturday type of initiative where we'll ask people to either shop online or buy gift certificates to your favorite local businesses to help them with their cash flow needs.
Links to the county's coronavirus update page and Project Resilience are at WAMC.org.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Allison Dunn.
And that about does it for this week's show. We had help from the New York State Public Radio Network. For copies, call 1-800-323-9262. That's 1-800-323-9262. Ask for program number 2012, or just listen or podcast on the web at wamc.org. And join us again next week at this same time for more news on New York State government and politics. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm David Giustina.